me. We making a movie. She wanna pull up and give me the pesos. I'm counting the pesos. I gotta stick to the cheese like.
I'm Janitara Begum, and I work in Operation Unite, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC. ACRA.
Tune in WGXC's new Sunday morning schedule with the Reverend Kim Singletary, and there's a bright side somewhere every morning, every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. That's followed by the teens from Hudson talking about books they've read on Bound by Books. After the local news at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., there's more teens. The Catskill kids from Clubhouse Radio are on at 10 a.m. with lots of music and talk on your community radio station, WGXC.org, 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
ACRA, Hudson, Catskill.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
Oh, in Georgia. Oh.
I'm Lena. Hello.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Bookish things.
Yeah, books we love, and like Georgia said, bookish things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're often joined by our friends Amelia, Mashuda, Fatia, Jada, and other fine friends. But it looks like it might just be the three of us today. So we're going to talk about some books.
The majority of the class, I haven't seen a lot. I haven't seen them, met the majority of the...
Oh, of the co-hosts? Yeah, some of them have had trouble coming in recent weeks. But yeah, so today we're going to talk about some books or bookish things. And I know that Georgia has a book to talk about because she showed it to us before we got on the radio. So maybe we can start with Georgia.
Yes. So my book is Secrets and Scones. It is by Laurel Remington. And it's really good. It's about a girl who named Scarlett who is really embarrassed by her mom's famous blog where it talks about embarrassing stuff about her, like her underwear.
That's fair. I would be pretty embarrassed by my mom's blog if she talked about my underwear too.
Yeah, I would too. And so she finds a kitchen next door when a neighbor is out because she had to go to the hospital. She decides to make some scones and starts there. The back, maybe. Okay. Scarlett is sick of being the star and victim of her mom's famous blog. Her solution? Become completely boring and deprive her mom of embarrassing material. The only problem is being boring as well. Boring. So when Scarlett finds a gorgeous kitchen in the house next door left empty by an elderly neighbor during a hospital stay, it's too tempting to resist checking it out. Before she really knows what she's doing, Scarlett is whipping up a batch of scones and making an unexpected friend. But can they keep their baking a secret? And can Scarlett find the secret ingredients to cake, family, and friendship? That's it.
That sounds fun. Sounds like the main character needs to set some boundaries with her mother about what she can share online.
Well, okay, I'm gonna try not to spoil. I usually do a bad job of not spoiling, so I'm going to mute myself before I get the entire story away.
Oh dear. Did the book inspire you to bake anything in particular? Because I know you're a baker.
Well, a few years ago I tried reading it, but I found it really boring. Because, yes, I do love to bake. I'm celiac, so I can't eat a single grain of gluten. Even the tiniest bit, my body is, like, confirmed allergic. I get really bad stomach aches or I'm sick if I eat gluten. So I am a celiac-friendly baker, and my dream bakery is going to be Mintley. And after I finish reading the book... I finished reading it last night. I started it during my little sister's nap, and then I was just glued to it. I could not let myself get out of it. So I was like this all day. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Hi, sister.
Nose in your book.
Cat. Okay, I'm done. Okay. That's why it's like last night. And as I told Emily and Lena before, well, on air. Oh, yeah. Last night I made a cake. I used cake mix, but I went all out on decorations. I'm a cake decorator, girl. I tried a new thing that I wanted to try for a while where I shade the frosting across the cake. It came out really beautifully. I'm really excited. Okay, now I'm going to cut myself off before I cut into everybody else's time.
I have a question since you're a baker and since you love graphic novels. Have you ever read Bake Sale by Sarah Varen?
I don't think so.
It's really cute. You might like it. It's a graphic novel about a cupcake named Cupcake, whose best friend is Eggplant. And Cupcake has a bakery and a band. They're in. And yeah, it's just it's a really cute story. it's funny.
Check it out.
Yeah, it made me want to bake. Although, fun fact, I don't like eggplant. I don't think that's that fun, actually. It's not really a fun fact. It's just a fact. So the eggplant did not make me want to eat eggplant. In fact, I even more don't want to eat eggplant because now I've seen an eggplant with a face. And that's just cruel. But I'll still eat cupcakes.
I mean, if you saw a pig with the face versus an eggplant with the face, why would it go in the opposite direction for the eggplant? Okay.
Well, I don't need an excuse to not eat eggplant because I don't like to. So.
True. And adults get to choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. One of the perks.
I can't wait.
Alina, do you have a book or bookish thing you wanted to talk about?
So I'm going to be talking about something that I've been assigned for school, which is writing. And I'm pretty sure I'm allowed to talk about writing on the show. And it's about school uniforms, like should students wear school uniforms? And I choose that students should not wear school uniforms. I'd like to know if you guys would like students to wear school uniforms or to not wear school uniforms.
I guess I would prefer not to. I'm not in school anymore, but so the stakes are pretty low.
Usually I would jump right to no, they should not have to. But it kind of depends. If you're talking about kids who brag a lot, they're like, oh, look at my clothes. Oh, look at my clothes. And to school just with them, they should have to wear uniforms. I think kids should not have to wear uniforms. But if they're a group of people at school who are raggy about their clothes, I think instead of punishing everybody, I think dress code or uniform, the ones that are all braggy and let the other people not. Well, actually, in general, I don't know. I think they should not, because if you did do that, it'd be kind of like singling out. Okay, it's Leah's turn, so.
Well,
but my final answer is no.
Well, I thought that was like a good, like, I'm pretty sure analysis is the word. I don't really know what the word is. But the reason why I chose no is one, because public schools are famous for them, for kids not having to wear school uniforms, because I go to a public school. Two, like, I don't think it, we have an elementary school and like pre-Kers and kindergartners go there, and I don't think they would like to wear it, like stuff like that. Four, everyone has their own clothing style. Yeah, they're going to be like that 1% of kids who actually wear skirts and stuff like that. But like everyone else in my school, I'm pretty sure a majority of us would rather wear, if we did have to have school uniforms, I'm pretty sure a majority of us would at least try to wear like pants or something like that. Because I'm pretty sure, because it's winter, like, and it gets really cold where we are, like, they don't, I'm pretty sure a majority of schools that make you wear uniforms, like, they don't let you wear stockings or like pants under your skirts unless it's like, I don't know, 30 degrees or under. And they make us go outside when it's like super cold. So yeah, those are my top four, I don't know, reasons why we probably shouldn't have school uniforms. But we have to choose some stuff from like this site called procon.org. Mm-hmm. Also, fun fact, my brother used that same site when he was doing it when he was a child. Another fun fact, he was born before the late 2000s, which are like 2010s and over. Like, so he was born in the early 2000s.
Fun.
Fun.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, I think I lean towards, you know, clothing and dress is a way of young people expressing themselves. And so I wouldn't want to stifle that as long as they're doing it appropriately. You know, I think dress code should be as open as possible, you know, maybe not allowing for things that are hate speech or something like that to be on clothes. But yeah, I think as few restrictions as possible. I also think young people are dealing with a lot in life, and clothing, in addition to being style, is also comfort. And like you were talking about with, you know, how warm or cold you are. And so I don't know that uniforms are that well known for their comfort. And I think we shouldn't do anything to make young people more uncomfortable in school and in life. So
yeah,
that's why I vote no. Let people wear what they want for the most part.
Another reason that I put on there, okay, so school uniforms are gendered, as majority of us know. And some students who are transgender, gender fluid, and or gender non-conforming will feel like outsiders. And this was actually on the website, and it said that like a boy who is transgender had to wear a skirt and a blouse, and he felt uncomfortable being in a skirt and a blouse. So yeah.
Yeah, that is understandable. It's a good point.
Yeah.
So you have to write an essay on this topic? Is that what you're doing for school?
Yeah, basically. Also, it's due tomorrow. I'm at least happy that they gave us 2 days on it.
And are all of your classmates doing the same topic, or did you each pick a topic separately?
Oh, we all have to do the same topic, but I will be very excited for if we get to do like freestyle writing or stuff like that, because I like that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's a fun assignment, getting to like take a position on something and really think about it.
Yeah.
I like it. If you do any more, you should ask us.
Yeah.
And share your opinion.
Yeah, I will.
Cool. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
So today I wanted to just briefly mention the American Library Association announced their Youth Media Awards this week, which are their major annual awards for books written for young people. And so I thought I would just share some of those winners. with you all. So one of their biggest awards is the John Newbery Medal for the most outstanding contribution to children's literature. And this year, the winner of that was When You Trap a Tiger, which is written by Tay Keller. And it looks really good. I'll read the description for that because I haven't read this one before. When Lily and her family move in with her sick grandmother, a magical tiger straight out of her Halmoni's Korean folktales arrives, prompting Lily to unravel a secret family history. Oh, by the way, Halmoni means grandmother. Long, long ago, Halmoni stole something from the tigers. Now the tigers want it back. And when one of those tigers offers Lily a deal, return what Halmoni stole in exchange for Halmoni's health, Lily is tempted to accept. But deals with tigers are never what they seem. With the help of her sister and her new friend Ricky, Lily must find her voice and the courage to face a tiger. It has a really pretty cover, too. It was not awarded for its pretty cover design, but it could have been. So that was the medal winner. They also had 5 honor books, all 13, The Incredible Cave Rescue of the Thai Boys Soccer Team, written by Christina Sunternvat. Box, Henry Brown Mails Himself to Freedom, written by Carol Boston Weatherford and illustrated by Michelle Wood. Fighting Words, written by Kimberly Brubaker Bradley. And We Dream of Space, written by Aaron Entrada Kelly, illustrated also by Aaron Entrada Kelly and Celia Krampian. And A Wish in the Dark, written by Christina Sunternvat, which is interesting because she won the award twice, the honor twice. She was honored for 2 books. So I guess she's an author to keep an eye on. Another one of their major awards is the Randolph Caldecott Medal for the most distinguished American picture book for children. And the winner for that was We Are Water Protectors. And then there are 4 honor books, A Place Inside of Me, A Poem to Heal the Heart, written by Zeta Elliott and illustrated by Noah Denman. The Catman of Aleppo, which I actually have at home right now. I'm getting ready to read that one, which was written by Irene Latham and Karim Shamsi Basha, illustrated by Yuko Shimizu. And Me and Mama, illustrated and written by Cosby A. Cabrera. And Outside In, which I also just got from the library, written by Deborah Underwood and illustrated by Cindy Derby. And then the one other one I'm going to share, there's actually a lot of different awards that they give out for audiobooks, books written for adults that would appeal to young audiences. There's the Coretta Scott King Awards, the Schneider Family Book Awards, the Odyssey Awards. There's so many. But the other one I'm going to share is the Michael L. Prince Award for Excellence in Literature Written for Young Adults. So this one's like a little bit older than the other 2 categories. And the winner of that is Everything Sad is Untrue, A True Story by Daniel Nayeri. And I'll read the description for that one because that one I also have not read. But it looks really good. Definitely on my reading list. And here's the description. At the front of a middle school classroom in Oklahoma, a boy named Koshru, whom everyone calls Daniel, stands, trying to tell a story. His story. But no one believes a word he says. To them, he is a dark-skinned, hairy-armed boy with a big butt whose lunch smells funny, who makes things up and talks about poop too much. But Koshru's story, stretching back years and decades and centuries, are beautiful and terrifying. From the moment his family fled Iran in the middle of the night with secret police moments behind them, back to the sad cement refugee camps of Italy, and further back to the fields near the river Aras, where rain-soaked flowers bled red like the yolk of sunset burst over everything. And further back still to the jasmine-scented city of Isfahan, we bounce between a school bus of kids armed with paperclip missiles and spitballs to the heroines and heroes of Koshru's family past, who ate pastries that made people weep and cry, Ach Tamar, and touched carpets woven with precious gems. Like Sherazade in a hostile classroom, Daniel weaves a tale to save his own life, to stake his claim to the truth. And it is a true story. It is Daniel's. That sounds very good. Excited to read that. My to-read list keeps growing and growing. It's never ending. But in good news, the 4 Prince honor books I have all read, so I'm ahead on the honor books. So Apple Skin to the Core by Eric Yansworth was one. Oh no, there's one on here I haven't read. Dragon Hoops by Jean Luen Yang, which has been on my reading list for quite some time. It's a graphic novel. Everybody Looking by Candace Ilo, and We Are Not Free by Tracy Chi. I know I've talked about the few that I've read on the show before. They were all very good And so, yeah, if you're interested in seeing what librarians across the country, the committees that put together this award, decided were some of the best books of the year in various categories, you can find that online if you look up ALA, for American Library Association, Youth Media Awards. You can get the full list there. But what happens every year is this list comes out, and usually there's ones that I've already read, but there's a lot that I haven't read, and my to-read list just gets bigger and bigger.
I have a suggestion on how to cross the books off. So what you might try to do is try to find some free time and maybe read then. I usually do all my reading before my bedtime. Mm-hmm. Maybe you would do that. Maybe you'd read like as many chapters as you can before bed. And if you did that every single night, you'd probably get so many books crossed off of there.
That's a good idea. I often read at night, but I don't always read at night. So I think if I made it an every night kind of thing.
Yeah, and maybe you should set a goal for yourself, like 5 chapters per night.
Yeah.
Then that would get you.
I also have a number of books that have been on my to-read list for many years, and I've thought about just making a special list for those, and it's like my goal to read them all this year. So just, I mean, it's...
those can maybe be your New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, that's how I was kind of thinking of them. You know, it wouldn't be every single book that's been on my to-read list for many years because I don't have time for that, but I can pick a handful of them.
To-read list mental or actual physical?
I would say it's both. I have, I use Goodreads to keep track of my reading, and I also have a to-read list on there, but then there's also just books that I know in my mind that I've wanted to read for a really long time. Like whenever they come up, I'm like, oh yeah, I want to read that.
I think what you might want to do is instead of just multiplying it to so many books that you can't handle, you might want to try to pause adding books to the to-read list for a while until you kind of cross off, I don't know, like third half of them, and then you can start gradually adding books back. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I can make a separate list that's a top tier.
Okay, your choice.
I don't mind having a really long to read list. At least I'll never run out of anything.
True. Even if, Jean, that makes you live for 2,000 years, actually, you probably still would have more books.
As long as I'm happily reading, I don't mind living for 2,000 years.
I wish I could live for 2,000 years. Though it is hard to outlive people. Though you might just want to make sure the other people do it too, so you guys can all live. Imagine how much would have changed in 2,000 years.
So here's a question. Do you think in 2,000 years humans will still inhabit planet Earth? And if they do you think they'll still be reading print books?
Doubt it.
2,000 years is a long time.
It is.
Yeah, think. 2,000 years ago was 0000000.
But if humans do still inhabit planet Earth or have moved on to some other planet, although I think we're just going to be here or not be here, but I wonder if they did have print books, I wonder what they would be writing about in 2,000 years.
Yeah. Well, like, if what you would... think about it, didn't they have print books in 000?
I forget when print books were. I'm going to look that up.
Well, they had books they could write in books, but they couldn't print them out, of course. Print books came later, a lot later.
The 15th century books, the books in codex form and printed on paper as we know it today, dates from the 15th century.
Hmm. So probably 2,000 years from now, there would be no such thing as books. Maybe 2,000 years from now, you could meet every celebrity there is. I will meet the Kids Bop kids.
They're going to be 2,000 years old.
But they would get the thing too, so we could all be at the same age, not be too old. I could meet Alana. Ah! I could meet Alana. Sorry, I'm a big fan.
That's fine.
Their number one fan. I check their website every day. I sent them fan mail a month and 22 days ago.
Do you have a favorite song that they perform?
I don't really know. There are too many to pick from.
Hmm.
days till their new albums are released. I was counting down the days till Kids Bop 2021 was released. I check YouTube Kids a lot, see their new videos.
And they just do cover songs, right?
Yeah, but sometimes they do originals every few albums. Oh, okay. Sprinkle an original for a little.
Do you listen to both the Kids Bop version and the original version, or do you just listen to the Kids Bop version? Like, do you ever listen
to
both?
Just the Kids Bop version. Really, the people that I listen to are just pretty much Taylor Swift, Kids Bop. Usually the original ones are really, really explicit. Too explicit to explain, so I just stick with it.
So that's why you like the Kids Bop, because it kind of makes it a little more comfortable?
Partly. Also, I'm obsessed with them. I know every single thing about them. My favorite Kids Bop kid is Alana. If any Kids Bop kids are listening to this, no offense, other Kids Bop kids, I like you just as much, but they probably won't be listening to this. It would be cool if they were, though.
It would.
That'd be pretty awesome.
That'd be pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Lena, do you have any favorite music?
The music that I listen to the most is probably lo-fi beats, which is basically music, like calming music. It depends on which one, but it has no words. So, like, yeah.
It makes good background music.
Yeah, it's
for when you're doing your art.
Study. Mm-hmm. Oh, I use it when I'm studying because my teachers give me mountains of homework and they don't give me a break. If you are listening to this, Miss K and Miss C, may you please stop giving us work?
Give her a break.
Give us all a break. Give us a month-long break because, like, I can't keep up with this. I have a career as a YouTuber.
You? Cool.
Yeah, I actually do. Yeah, I do have a career as a YouTuber.
That's cool. So cool.
Thank you, Georgia.
Yay.
Okay.
Well, we're just about out of time for today, but thank you everyone for listening. We'll be back next week with some more books and bookish things to talk about. Oh, until then.
Bookish things.
Yeah, we like talking about bookish things and just saying bookish things.
Bookish things. It's so fun to say.
But until then, we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. Happy reading.
Have an amazing week. Have fun and keep keeping on.
Walk me home, sidewalk chalk, covered in snow. Lost my gloves, you give me one. Wanna hang out, yeah, sounds like fun. Video games, you pass me a note. Sleeping in tents, it's nice to have a friend. It's nice to have a friend. Light pink sky up on the roof, sun sinks down, no curfew. 20 questions would tell the truth. You've been stressed out lately, yeah, me too. Something gave you the nerve to touch my hand. It's nice to have a friend. It's nice to have a friend. Home, stay in bed the whole weekend. It's nice to have.